Lafondre looking to get cross-side of Font. Lafondre away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello. Welcome to another episode of the Empire Royals podcast, sponsored by Blue Collar Street Food. Another weekend and another inconsistent performance from Reading FC. 2-0 loss at Blackburn yesterday. And to join me, joining me today, Matt Lansley. How are you doing?
Not too bad, Alex. How are you?
I've been better. Losing at Blackburn isn't the best way to go about a weekend. And Nick, you toured the country yesterday to go and watch us pick up no points. How are you doing this morning?
Yeah, not too bad. 10 hours of travelling and a defeat, so not the best.
So one of those things, if you want to follow the Royals, you don't see us win up north. It's just one of the unwritten rules. The team lineup yesterday, Matt. We finally have seen Aziz come in to start. Was it expected yesterday? Were you pleased to see Aziz starting?
Yeah, I think we all kind of expect him to start against Blackpool, to be honest. And then after the Blackpool game, after another game went by Puskas, you just kind of looked at it and you thought, that's got to be it. You know, with Aziz now back fit, it just made sense, you know. And he's looked bright when he's come on, Aziz. So everything pointed to Aziz starting, really. And I don't think anyone really would have had any complaints. I think virtually everyone probably would have been really, really happy to have seen him starting again.
Nick, were you pleased to see Aziz up front yesterday on his own?
Yeah, he sort of played on the right, didn't he, for the time he was on. It was good to see him back. He had the two games getting his match fitness up, I suppose. But for me, he had to come in for either Puskas or even Laurent to get TDB back in the, Deli Bashiri back in the midfield. But it was good to see him starting, and it was quite positive to know that we might be able to break through Blackburn on the counter with some pace there.
Yeah, and I guess it's not something we've really seen necessarily with Puskas up top, is that pace on the break. It's definitely come from other players this season so far. First half wasn't bad. It wasn't great. It wasn't terrible either. Matt, we didn't really create too much, but neither did Blackburn.
Yeah, I mean, both teams countered each other pretty well, you'd probably say. I mean, as a Reading fan, seeing that as a kind of a first half, you were looking at it and kind of thinking, okay, you know, we've got through 45 minutes. A point away at Blackburn would be a good point after the loss midweek. Yes, we'll come on to a couple of chances, but you know, it was just very steady. You know, neither team really got a stranglehold on the game. Reading, you'd probably say, controlled the game more, but it was still few and far between the chances, really.
And the game of low margins, Nick, we finally did create one chance with Rahman kind of creating it himself.
Yeah, it was quite direct play from Baba. He sort of cut in slightly and then cut back outside just inside the box. And there wasn't many options in the box, which was frustrating. I think Deli Bashiru was loitering in the middle, and I'm not sure where anyone else was, but Swift or Aziz at the time. But he decided to have a shot and he didn't quite connect with it too well and it flew over. But Baba seems like he's going to get a goal at some point. He's had a number of good efforts and gets himself in really good positions. And I actually thought he had a quite good game yesterday, actually. He was getting challenged early on by Dolan, sort of adapted to that well and seemed to be quite solid defensively, plus one of our most dangerous threats going forward for most of the game as well.
Yeah, he's certainly offering us, like you say, some threat going forwards on the left-hand side, which we are perhaps lacking so far this season on the left-hand side. We'll come on to Ajaria a little bit later on. Blackburn had their chances as well, Nick, and Gallagher hits the post.
Yeah, he's running out. I think it might have been Moore from memory. And he bends it around really well. It's beating southward. It's going to the top corner. I think it dips quite late and just clips the side of the post and luckily bounces away. I think that was probably the clearest chance of the half, and it's fairly late on in the half. I mean, aside from that, between either side, there wasn't much creativity. It was just two sides that didn't have that cutting edge for a lot of that half. And it did seem like it would take a moment of absolute quality, like the effort from Gallagher hits him a post, or a massive defensive error to change the game from a 0-0.
Yeah, there was a change, I guess, in the first half, although it wasn't a goal. And we got 35 minutes of starting play, Matt, from Femi Azeez, and he has now been taken off and back out of the starting lineup and pulled up with a hamstring injury. I don't really know what to say. Another injury is just incredible, isn't it?
Well, can we count it as another injury? Because he was barely back, was he? I was gutted for him when he came off. I mean, you saw everyone on the bench as well. Was just gutted for him. You know, he's a young lad. He's been out for 2 months now, and gets his first start back. Has a big chance to now almost nail down a starting spot until, you know, Zhao comes back, probably midwinter time. And he's off before he could even really start running, you know, and a hamstring.
Literally, in this case.
Yeah. You know, and it's just so frustrating, you know, because Azeez, he's made a difference whenever he's played. You know, at the start of the season, he got some real crucial goals. He gives us another option up front. He gives us someone at least on the bench as well, because you look at the bench and there's no one really to bring on. So it's like, it just gives us another dimension that we quite bluntly don't have, you know, purely because of the injuries. But it's just like, you think you got him back from the injury list, and before, like you say, before he can start running, he's back on it probably for 4-6 weeks. So,
yeah, I can't imagine he's going to be back quickly, certainly not before the next international break. And I don't really think we're going to get any of these players back, you know, too soon. And Nick, if you had to pick a player, Nick, who you could have fit for the rest of the season guaranteed right now, who would it be?
I would probably, it's tough between two players, but I'm going to say Mate, simply because he scores goals. He might not be the best technically, but he gets himself in good positions. He can score all kinds of goals. He's very good in the air. He gives us a physical outlet, scores headers, scores the scrappiest goals you'll see, and he can also score from 25, 30 yards as well. It just helps having that outlet cutting in from the right, or even playing up front, and we just don't have that at the moment. And just because he's a guaranteed goal scorer, I mean, he's even last season he got double figures, I think, and he was injured for most of it. I think he's 20 goal a season striker or attacking player if he's fit all season.
And I think the one thing about Mate is, if you do have Mate and he's fit and you're able to play him out on the right, all of a sudden you lose Deli Bashiru from playing out on the right, where his effectiveness could be argued it's probably not his strongest position. And you can start to play him back in the centre again as well.
Yeah, Deli Bashiru, it's funny because I don't think he brings a lot out wide, although he's not awful there. And he's actually technically scored 2 goals since playing there, because the Barnsley goal should have counted, and the goal against Blackpool. So it's strange considering he scored 2. But he offers so much more in midfield, and he drives the ball forward. He's got that technical ability, a bit of vision. He can be a bit sloppy at times, but he's only 21. And I do think we're missing him in midfield. I think he works well with Drinkwater, and that will only grow. So it is frustrating to see him not available there. But beggars can't be choosers at the minute. We don't have any options, and he's probably the one midfielder that can actually do that role.
Yeah, you're right. Beggars can't really be choosers. We've got a squad of 12 players at the minute, it feels like. Matt, are you on this Mate bandwagon, or are you going for the obvious answer?
I think it's probably something that's deserved of a Twitter poll, to be honest, because I think it would be very down the middle, I think. And the obvious other admission is Lucas Zhao. You know, I think people would be pretty 50-50 between the two. I'd be going with the obvious. I'd be going Lucas Zhao. Just what he brings to the team when he's fit, when he's playing, when he's on song, he brings something that no one at the club can bring. You know, he's the only player that can do what Lucas Zhao does. You know, both feet, technically very good finishers. We saw last year, yes, he had his moments towards the end of the season, but this team is crying out for a striker right now. You know, someone that can hold the play up, link the play up, get a crucial goal, you know, have just a moment of flair, you know, other than Swift, because right now, like we've already said, the squad is just wafer thin. And when it's like that, through injuries, you just need players to just get through an individual brilliance. You know, that's not a fault of the manager, that's not a fault of the system, that's just a fault of where we are at the moment with the injury crisis that we're in. You know, we're relying on Swift to have a bit of individual brilliance, Deli Bashiri the same, Ajaria the same, and I think in the team as it is currently, I think Lucas Schau, would he make a difference? Absolutely he would.
Yeah, I can't quite remember when Lucas Schau was meant to be fit. I want to say it's
January.
Yeah, New Year. Yeah. So still got a fair few games without him coming up, which is...
I think I did see on his Instagram he's back in the UK or back in training. So whether or not he flew out to... Because it was a hip injury, wasn't it?
Well, he had two surgeries. So I'm assuming he's come back because he can start some sort of rehab. I'm guessing, but I don't know how long that'll take. They said initially around January, but I mean, either him or Mate, they were so missed yesterday. Just having one of them available would have made such a difference in that game.
And I think between the two, you're tossing it up. You know, you can make cases either way.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
You would take either back in a heartbeat. You know, it's a hard one to choose between the two, really. But yeah.
I mean, I would be perfectly happy not choosing and just having both of them available. That would be fantastic because it feels like we haven't had a fully fit squad at all ever under Paunovic, which is one of these kind of caveats that we've always had to make with Paunovic as the manager. Is he's never been able to sign players, he's never had a fully fit squad, and it feels like we're probably going to get through well over a season and a half potentially, and he might have never had a fully fit squad to pick from, which is tough. It's tough for him, and it's, I think it's tough for fans as well, Matt. I feel like you end up with people making judgments on a manager who you don't know whether he's doing a good job, because it's difficult to judge someone when they don't have all the resources available to them.
Yeah, and I think so many times people talk about having plan Bs and stuff with Paunovic, but what is his plan? What can his plan be right now? You know, his plan B is effectively a bench full of, you know, 17 to 19-year-olds. That's not a plan B. You know, people talking about bring on Clark, bring on Kamara or anyone, it's not a plan B. You know, it's hard. It's hard for Paunovic. It's hard for fans, like you say. It's just... Please, players, get back and get fit. Please, just give us something.
So on this, Nick, just as a plan B argument, we'll go back to the game, but on this like plan B argument, do you feel like Paunovic, he's given seven subs every week. He's, you know, he's got a bench. It's not strong. We all know that. And I feel we can, you know, we don't need to go over just quite how weak the bench is. Do you feel like he attempts to change the game enough with what he's got available, even though we know it's necessarily not the quality? Do you think his subs and his game, you know, game plan, game management is maybe it's too late and too little too late sometimes?
It is. I mean, you can see the players now, they're fatiguing, they're tired, the legs look like jelly by 60-70 minutes in the last couple of games. And even in the last 10 of games, in Barnsley, I think we just looked a bit tired. We saw out fine. We looked tired. He just, for me, doesn't... Same with last season with the same players, similar sort of players like Melvin Lambert. It's either they're not ready or he doesn't trust them, or both. Because there is some talent there. I think Kamara's still 17. But he's done very well for the under-23s. He's had a few late cameos. But why not throw him on? He must just not be ready. It might be a physical thing. The one he seems to trust enough is Clark, but I think that's just because I think if that players were available, other players were available, we wouldn't see Clark come on unless we were 2-0 up or something like that. So really, I don't think there is a plan B at the moment. It's just dealing with what we've got. These players will come on, like Stickland came on because of an injury. He wouldn't have come on other than that. Again, I think he's 17 as well still. So the bench is, they might be coming through in a few years' time, but they're on the bench, not because they deserve to be on the bench. And I don't mean that in a harsh way against these players, because they're all talented, but they're on the bench because we've got no other option at the moment. He's filling the bench, I guess, as injury cover more than for any sort of game plan as the game goes on. I think unless we go 2-3-0 up, these players aren't going to get on. And maybe he needs to give one of them a go and see. You never know. You see, like, young, I mean, look at Luke Shaw a few years ago when he was at Southampton, came out of nowhere and started playing in the Premier League at, what, 18 or something? 17, 18? And it happens, and no one expected that. And maybe he was ready, I don't know. But throw someone like Kamara on and see how he does. See how he does for 20 minutes, and you can't do much worse. I mean, as we're going to go on to Ajari later, but at the moment, can't do much worse than Ajari.
It does feel like we're getting to a point now where it's gamble and see what we've got, almost. The second half, we didn't make any subs at halftime. Going back to the actual game yesterday, didn't make any subs at half time and came out, Matt. And for the first 10 or 15 minutes of the second half, it was kind of much of the same, really.
Yeah, I mean, it just seemed to be petering out almost, you know. Nothing really had changed at half time. It was one of those games, one of those classic championship games where, you know, to bring out the cliche, first goal will win it. You know, it just seemed to be like one of those games. And I mean, had we have held on for a 0-0, I think everyone would have been very content. You know, I think up until the second goal, you were probably looking at it and just thinking it's been a fine performance, nothing too great, nothing too bad. But yeah, then the game changes on the Blackburn goal.
Yeah, so just after the hour mark, we basically have a mini meltdown, Nick, and concede two in 5 minutes. The first goal, I mean, you talk us through it, Nick, and take us through Gallagher's goal.
Yeah, there's another bit of a collapse like Wednesday, wasn't it, really? Just 5 minutes of crap. Yeah, Rothwell seems to drive through. We get cut open far too easily in the midfield. And then it happened on Wednesday as well. The defence are just being run at, and it leaves them vulnerable and exposed to an onslaught of attacking direct play. Rothwell's running through. Dan sort of tries to stand his ground, and I don't know if he loses balance or if he's just a bit flat-footed. And Rothwell just sort of rolls it with his right foot, which catches Dan out completely, which is disappointing for someone so solid and experienced. And then he sort of pokes it. I can't remember if it's with his right foot or left foot, but he pokes it with his toes through Moore's legs. Salford probably sees it late anyway, but it's just going too far in the corner. He's outstretched, and it just clips a post, and it just rolls straight to Sam Gallagher to tap in. I have no idea if it was anywhere near offside. I'm assuming it wasn't. I've seen no uproar about it on social media. But yeah, easy goal, poor goal to concede. And you just know that's probably, I don't know, I felt like it was game over in a way because we weren't creating anything.
Yeah, 1-0 down after 60 minutes and we hadn't really created a big chance up to that point. But before Blackburn, before Blackburn get their second goal, Matt, we do actually create one pretty big chance to equalise almost immediately afterwards. And it's kind of a head in your hands moment how we haven't scored here.
Yeah, it's just the ball won't go in the back of the net for Puskas right now, you know, and it was a very good move down the left. I can't remember if it was Ajara or Baba who put the ball in, but I mean, fizzes the ball in. I mean, it's a perfect, well, I say perfect, probably just an inch away from being the perfect ball, but it just whipped in along the ground behind the back of the Blackburn defenders, and it's just crying out for someone just to get on the end. And Puskas, he tries to throw his body at it, but he's literally just, I don't know if he actually does get a slight touch, but he's just, you know, an inch or two away from breaking this scoring duck that is just killing him right now, I think, you know. And with Aziz out, he's going to have a bit of time again in the team to try and do something. Maybe Clark might get a start now, who knows. But I mean, he just needs something, a rebound, a deflection, off the post, whatever it is, because it's just dragging on and on, this scoring duck. And it was a perfect opportunity, but just, again, a fraction too late, an inch or two away.
And it is a game of inches, because no more than 2 minutes later, it was practically game over, Matt. And Dolan scores a really, really nice goal here. And I mean, you can just talk us through what happened with this goal, but it feels like maybe we could have prevented it.
Yeah. And to be fair, it was something we did far too often in the game. So much in the game, we sat off Dolan. And even in the first half, he was the one that was trying to do stuff for Blackburn. Second half, he was the one spark really in that Blackburn team. But I mean, he picks it up on the left-hand side and just weaves in and out a couple of players. And then he confronts Yeardom, and Yeardom just sits away. He starts cutting in on his right, almost moves into the territory of Moore, and everyone just sits off him. And when you sit off a player like Dolan, you know, we know he can score those kinds of goals. I mean, you tip your hat to the finish, because it was an absolutely cracking finish, a cracking individual goal. And like I say, it's what he can do. But the sitting off him, he's pretty much the player that they'll probably look to in moments like that, like we'd look to with Swift. A player like that, you put two players around, you know, you make sure he doesn't have the time on the ball, he doesn't have a moment to think about what you're going to do. Like, and it happened too much in the game, and we eventually got punished by it in that with his goal, which brilliantly taken, like I say. But I mean, we had to do more to close him down, to pressure him in that moment and all through the game.
It felt, Nick, like we didn't really have enough pressure, like Matt said, throughout the game. And that was kind of a continuation from that second half against Blackpool in midweek. The midfield kind of just vanishes in the second half.
Yeah, they just get cut through too easily. I think there are signs of that against Barnsley as well. We got away with it, probably from Salford's good goalkeeping, to be honest. But yeah, I don't know if Drinkwater's maybe needs a bit of a break. Obviously very good on the ball. Off the ball, he gets about, makes some good tackles, a few fouls. But I don't know if his legs are struggling a bit after so many games, after so long without so many games. Lawrence just not doing the same job as he was last season. I don't know if it's because he's playing a different role, if he's just not on form. And they're cutting through him. They're running out of defence. As Matt was saying, Yeardom just gave Dolan so much time and space to run at him and cut inside and bend it around more. It was a great goal, great individual quality from him as well. He's a top player, of course, but we have to do more to stop that. But there's no support for that defence. The wingers, who normally, I remember last year, Richards and Ajari worked so well together on that left side in defensive capacity as well as an attacking one. And we don't have that sort of link-up anymore. The midfielders are not working well with that defence. And the gaps between the lines are where teams are finding us out at the moment. And that seems to be our current weak area.
Yeah, certainly our opposition in the last three or four games are just, they're sitting in between our midfield and defence. And it just becomes a game of attack versus four defenders, which is inevitably meaning that we're going to concede a lot of chances. And the last 20 minutes after the goal, after the second goal, Blackburn carried on creating chances, and they missed an absolute sitter, Matt, with 5 minutes to go. I can't remember the player's name who missed it, but it was, he should have absolutely buried a chance from a few yards out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was one of their defenders. It was certainly a defender's finish. But yeah, I mean, after the second goal, we were just spent. You know, you looked at the players. I mean, Clark came on for Ajari, but it was still much the same. And yeah, Blackburn could have got a third quite easily, especially with that chance at the back post. I mean, it rolls across to their defender and 2 yards on the back post. How he skewed it wide, I don't know, you know, and you can almost say that quite lucky there, because I mean, our goal difference, we don't need it hampered anymore, really, with the amount that we've conceded this season. But yeah, it just, everything kind of went out of the team after that second goal, and it just looked dead on their feet. And I mean, Blackburn just kept going, and yeah, it should have been 3. Possibly even 4-0, really.
By talking of goal difference, Salford is kind of keeping that at a relatively okay state, Nick. He played well again yesterday, made a decent save right at the very end of the match.
Yeah, it's a good, that would have been a really nice goal as well. It was bending around top corner, a bit like Gallagher's first shot that hit the post. It's just bent it round and got flying. It's just like a nice bit of finesse, really. And Southwood just flies to his left and fingertips it out for a corner. He didn't have too much to do. He couldn't do anything about the goals. That was the one. He had another save from an angle as well. That's pretty straightforward. But it's just the basics in goalkeeping that he does so well as well. He comes and claims the ball. He comes off his line, comfortable with his feet. Just everything. His distribution's decent. Not amazing, but very good. I just feel so much more comfortable with him in goal. And I think the defence have that confidence in him as well.
They're going to need confidence in him next week because we are at home against table-topping Bournemouth, which will be a very difficult game. And two players who we really could do with coming back into some form for that Bournemouth game. Players that we've touched on in this pod so far. Ovi Ejaria, Nick. I know he started the season out with COVID and he missed the first, I want to say it was first five, six matches. So he's been back in the squad for probably close to 2 months, just under 2 months now. What do you think he's adding? Do you think he's bringing enough to the side this season so far?
No, I think normally I've always said that he's always just not had enough end product. He needs to either add more goals or assists to get to the level he's capable of. And he is a quality player. I do like that he does generally work quite hard defensively and puts in a shift there as well. I feel like he's having too many touches, which is something notorious with him because he likes to have the ball. He seems to be falling over the ball, doing the simple things wrong, slipping over. Normally, you think he'll have one moment of quality even when he has an average or poor game. But he's not even having that one moment of quality at the moment. I think he was the one who played the ball in for that Puskás chance at 1-0. But aside from that, he's just poor. And he knows it too, because when he came off, head was down, just looked so disappointed in himself. And I think he knows he's not performing. I don't know what it is, but nothing's working for him at the moment at all. But there's no option to drop him or rest him. Maybe it is something to do with COVID. Maybe he's struggling with the effects of after COVID, pre-COVID. Maybe he's got a bit of long COVID. I've no idea. But there's something not right with him. He's had a couple of okay games. The Fulham game, he was very good. And he's just not consistent. But it's not even being consistent. He's just very poor at the moment.
One thing that I've noticed, certainly with Ejaria this season, is he doesn't win anywhere near as many fouls when he's on the ball. Last season, even the season before, you could rely on Ejaria to take a lot of pressure off of the defence when he picks up the ball. And it feels like this season it's just vanished. He's just not picking up anywhere near as many free kicks.
Yeah. You know, and it was a hallmark of him. Easy free kicks, even up the field, in good places to get a free kick, to get swift on something and to relieve pressure through that side of the game. But it's just not happening. Like Nick says, whether it's long COVID, I mean, he came back, and when he came back in, he was okay for a few games. So whether or not he's already fatiguing, who knows, because these players are having to play 90 minutes. They're not having the luxury of coming off. I mean, he did yesterday after 75, 80 minutes, but the majority of the games, they're playing a full 90. So whether it's fatigue with him, I don't know, but he's not affecting games anymore. If anything, he's probably slowing games down with his weaving, his trickery that he always tries to do, and it's hindering us in key moments, in key areas, that side of it. And yeah, like we always say about his end product, only I think it's five goals in one and a half seasons with us since he's been permanent anyway. He just needs more. He needs to be quicker. He needs to be more decisive. And hopefully he'll pick up that form of last year because we need it right now.
Yeah, another player, Matt, who's definitely dropped off in form from last year is player of the season, Josh Laurent. And I think it can be argued his best games this season have been at the position he's not even been brought into play.
Yeah, no, I'd completely agree with that. When he had his stint at centre back, he looked comfortable. Even before those games, he didn't look comfortable in the team. It's almost like, it might be harsh to say it, but we're almost seeing the League One player that we signed on a free transfer, you know, right now. Because it's not happening. All we're seeing right now is a player that loves to run. And God, you know, we want every player to run their socks off, and Josh Laurent does. You know, you can't ever for a second question his work rate, because it's always there, and it's probably why he doesn't get probably the stick that another player might get, because he's running his socks off, he's trying. But there's just no end product at the moment. Even when he picks up the ball, he does a driving run forwards, he just doesn't know what to do with it right now. And it's like Ajaria, it's killing us in certain moments, because there's times when he should release the ball, play it wide, play it into the striker. And it's just not happening. He's just running, almost to the byline and then losing the ball. You know, he needs to try and just do something with it. Otherwise, it's just going to be a season. And he's in a crucial season for himself as well, obviously being out of contract at the end of the season. You know, whether or not he's trying to play for a move elsewhere, a new contract at Reading, you never know. But, you know, he it's something he needs to try and pick up, because it's, we know what he can do, and it's not coming through at the moment. And it's like I said with Jari, we just need these performances again from these players.
I mean, Nick, I know earlier we were discussing about Dele Bashiri playing in the centre, and if everybody was fit, does Josh Laurent start?
Not for me at the moment. I would play, based on the form he's on as well, but I would play Dele Bashiri and Drinkwater in that midfield pivot. I think they're linking up quite well. I think Dele Bashiri, he's okay in a defensive capacity as well, but he likes to get on board, drive forward. And he has that, although, yes, Laurent and Rhino do that too, there's more technical ability in the way Dele Bashiri does it. There's a bit more vision. And I think it just offers us a bit more going forward in an attacking sense. At the moment, yeah, I don't know. Laurent on last season, it would be hard to drop him. Like we were just saying, he was unbelievable. But at the moment, his only performances that have been good this season, in my opinion, are in defence, where he was immense, to be fair. Very comfortable, very good there. And I wouldn't mind if he had to go back there, to be honest. As long as he had a good centre-back next to him, I'd be fine with that, because he looked very comfortable there. But in midfield, he's not on it at the moment. And even if he was on it, I don't think he's our best midfielder. I think it's between him and Rhino to cover it. I think Dele Bashiri on form, with Drinkwater on form, walk into that team on quality.
Unfortunately, I'm not sure we're going to see Rhino back for next week.
No, I mentioned it after the game. I think he was questioned, and again, he said he was still a few weeks off, which I think Rhino comes in for Laurent. I think when he's back fit right now. Yeah. Just if anything, give Laurent a rest. But yeah,
he would have made such a difference against Blackpool, Rhino, when they were overrunning us. Having Rhino in that midfield, he just has that pace and energy to get around a bit different. They're very similar to Laurent, but a bit different. He would have been vital in that game, holding on to that lead, coming off the bench even just for the last 20, 30 minutes.
We've still got 3 games before the next international break, unfortunately, which it feels like that might be when we kind of see Rhino come back into the team. Next up, we've got Bournemouth next weekend. Unbeaten in 14. Won 10 games out of the 14 they've played. And I think they're on 2 goals conceded away from home so far. One goal conceded away from home so far this season. So a game under the lights next Saturday, Nick. What's your score prediction? Gonna guess you're probably not gonna feel too optimistic about this one.
I'm not, just because we over rely on John Swift to score goals at the minute, or at least set them up on a plate for someone. Unless a couple are back, I hope they are. I'm gonna be positive and say we're gonna win 2-1, but I'm just trying to be optimistic just to lighten up the pot a bit. But yeah, I think we're gonna struggle to score.
Matt, there is one, I guess, Reading-esque thing here is Reading are very inconsistently consistent. So
yeah,
perhaps we'll pick up 3 points or even a point. What do you reckon?
Fingers crossed. But I mean, I don't mean to bring a downer on it, but our record against Bournemouth is notoriously utterly woeful. You know, I think until we beat them last year at home, what was it? It was like 18 games we'd not won against them. I mean, if there was a time to bring back an old player to G them up for the stop them from getting our points record, I think it'd be the game to bring someone back for. Because I mean, I think a few people are getting worried. I think they asked the question of Jem on BBC Berkshire yesterday. It was a solid no on that. But I mean, it's going to be a tough game. You know, Bournemouth starting so well, so much quality all over the pitch. Scotty Parker seemingly gotten playing very, very good football. And like Nick said, our lack of scoring, relying on Swift and that, it's going to be very tough. I'm going to go... I'm going to go 2-0 Bournemouth. Sorry. 2-0.
Well, one old player we could definitely do with up front would be somebody like Kevin Doyle up front next weekend. We'd all love to see that, I'm sure. Coming up in the week, Matt Williamson will be back with the preview pod later on in the week, followed by a review of the Bournemouth game after the late kickoff next weekend. Cheers for listening today, everybody. Thanks.